evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening.
We welcome you to the July 13th, 13th County Board of Commissioners meeting. At this time, we will have our roll call and have a clerk.
Chair Corey Balance.
Present.
Vice Chair Lewis Hoggard.
Present.
Commissioner Ronald Robinson.
Present.
Commissioner Vivian Saunders.
Present.
Commissioner Michael White.
Yes.
Chair, we have a quorum.
All right, thank you so much. At this time, we'll have our invocation and Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Ronald Robinson.
Mr. Chairman, this time, I'll yield a prayer to Reverend David Ray.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Monday night. We thank you, Lord, for your divine guidance on our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would lead our elected leaders at this hour, Lord, that we would be in harmony and work together and grow together. We thank you for all you've done for Burke County, North Carolina. God, continue to move on our school system, the people of this county. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Forgive us of all our sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Please join in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Robinson, as well as Pastor Ray. We thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for public comments.
Marcia Watford.
Good evening.
Good evening,
everyone. I am Marcia Watford. I'm the board chair for the Burke County Child and Family Collaborative. I'm also the director of United Services Youth. And I thank you for this opportunity to share that on July the 25th, 2026, at 10 o'clock a.m., we will be in our 10th year of having Guns, Gangs, and Young Lives Matter initiative. It's an event hosted by United Services in connection with NC Safe and also in connection with some of our community leaders and other programs. It's an initiative that's geared toward hearing the voices of our community and hearing the voices of our community leaders and the voices of our judicial system, law enforcement, and community people that's been affected by gun violence, which all of us have. And to also let our community know that gun violence, it affects more than just the families that's involved. It affects the dollars that come to our communities. It affects businesses that may want to come to our community. It affects the other people that's around the violence. It also affects our children, the little children, the children that's not yet of age to even understand what is going on. We also wanted to raise our voices just to let families that have taken a loss know that we care and that they've not been forgotten and that we're in support of our sheriff's departments. I represent our District 7, the entire district, Burke, Halifax, Northampton, and Hertford County. So I just wanted to let you all know that this is an open invitation for our community leaders to also come to let your voices be heard on how it affects our communities from the seats in which you sit in. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you so much, Ms. Watford.
Now, Kurt.
Ms. Rachel Bellis.
Good evening, Chairman Balance, Commissioners. My name is Rachel Bellis. I'm here on behalf of PETA and our nearly 170,000 members and supporters in North Carolina alone. As you are discussing whether to pass an ordinance banning chaining and implementing standards of care and duties of ownership, we wanted to remind you of the animals that you would be protecting with this very sorely needed and very important ordinance. It's been so hot, and as we run to our cars, run our air conditioning, try to stay in the shade, try not to be outside for too long during the hottest hours, try to stay hydrated. These animals are out there. They're not being provided with shade. They're not being provided with adequate water. And they are completely trapped. They rely on humans 100% and they are not getting what they need to survive. And we just wanted to show you some of the animals. For example, this is Hazel. This is the only shade. Hazel is out there 24/7, 365 days a year, and this is all that she has to keep her out of the sun. The fleas have also been so bad this year. We have field workers that come back to the office covered in fleas. And these animals, they're not being provided flea prevention. They're out there covered, infested with fleas, like this little kitten that we found dying. And we believe from the amount of fleas that she had on her, she was dying from flea anemia. And that is an awful, awful way to die when you have so many fleas on your body that you become so anemic that you die. This is Kane. This is a close-up of Kane. He's infested with fleas. Those are all fleas that you see on him. And by the way, we bathed Kane. We gave him a pill to kill the existing fleas. We gave him flea prevention to keep the fleas off him for 1 month. But, you know, if with an ordinance, gardeners would be required to provide care, flea prevention, veterinary care when needed, adequate water, adequate space, adequate shelter, adequate water like this. This was Kane's water. I don't know anybody who would want to drink this water. And just a few days ago, we found, sorry for the photo, but we found this dead puppy. This is exactly how we found him. His name is Sam. He was the owner. When we talked to her, she thought that the heat got him, and she put him outside on the porch on this pee-pee pad. And we don't know if he was outside. She took him out of the crate. Apparently she found him dead, and she left him on the porch. And there is still another tethered dog on the same property, a small dog. Last year, another tethered dog on the property also died. We don't know how. This is Oreo. Oreo is dead. We recently visited Oreo's property. There were three or four chain dogs on this property. When we asked what happened to Oreo, the owner said that he thought the heat got him. Oreo is dead. And so just a reminder of the animals that are out there in Bertie County that need your help, that need your assistance. This ordinance cannot come soon enough. And I thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Rachel. And if you will, while you're being seated, if you will, just allow your pictures to float around the room. All right. Thank you.
That's all the public comments.
Okay. Thank you so much for the public comments. Now we have our reports and appointments. First line item is presentation of employee of the quarter.
Bertie County Board of Commissioners, Bertie County staff, citizens and stakeholders of Bertie County. I am absolutely thrilled to announce the employee of the quarter for the second quarter of 2026. This employee was nominated multiple times by various employees for the second quarter of 2026. This employee is described as going above and beyond for their fellow coworkers and citizens. They are described as being willing to help with all situations that may arise in the office in which they work. This employee has proven to be a kind and trustworthy employee who helps people in their community and on the job. They are described as someone who you can call upon, always going the extra mile, and very knowledgeable about everything in their office as well as county government, generally speaking. Some employees are like me and have been here for approximately 7 years. Some employees have been with Bertie County for over 17 years. Some even 27 years, and very few have been here over 37 years. However, this employee has been with Bertie County for over 47 years.
Yes.
Please join me in congratulating Mr. James Field Hoggart from the Tax Department on this well-deserved recognition.
Yes.
Yes. So this reads, this is proudly presented to James Hoggart in recognition of outstanding performance, dedication, and contributions to Bertie County Your efforts have significantly contributed to our success, and we are honored to recognize your achievements. Juan Vaughn II, County Manager, and Corey Ballant, Senior Chair of the Bertie County Commissioners.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. I'm not.
I just want to shake your hand. I never stayed anywhere long, so I just want to congratulate you and thank you for all of your hard work for us.
My dad worked with his dad. My dad had been dead 30 years ago.
Sorry, this one's
going
to get a picture.
All right, next line item. Again, we'd like to congratulate our employee of the quarter. And at this time, we will have an introduction of interim director, North Carolina Cooperative Extension, Bertie County Center, Ms. Lisa Smith.
Yes. So once again, I'm thrilled to introduce someone, and I'll give you a few moments to tell everyone about yourself in just a minute. But earlier this year, as you all know, former Cooperative Extension Director Billy Barrow retired. And since then, Ms. Lisa Smith was appointed interim of the Bertie County Center. So please welcome Ms. Lisa Smith.
First of all, I want to thank you for your confidence in allowing me to fill in at this temporary time for Billy while we look for a replacement. I do have what I think could be some good news. You know, when you're dealing with state budgets, you're never sure how quickly something might happen. But with the passing of the budget just recently, I feel like we'll be getting some good news for you soon that we might be getting a permanent posting for this job, you know, pretty soon. Fingers crossed, we really don't know what's going to happen. And I certainly will be here as long as it takes to get that position filled. And if there's anything I can do to help you in part of extension business that I can help you with, or just in general helping you in Bertie County, please let me know. I'm thrilled to be here. You have a really good staff here in Bertie County. I've learned over the last 2 months. And so I'm excited to continue with them and fill in the gaps as long as necessary.
Thank you so much.
Director Smith also serves as the director in Martin County Cooperative Extension.
That's right.
All right.
Permanent director.
Yeah. All right. So awesome. We're glad to have her.
But I could be here in 20 minutes.
Thank you so much, Ms. Smith. Okay. Next line item, real property fraud alert service system update. Bertie County Register of Deeds, Ms. Annie Wilson.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon again. What I want to talk about today is the real property fraud alert. It's something that I have been talking about for a while. I'm pretty sure you heard me mention it before. But as we know, property fraud has been a growing thing across North Carolina, well, throughout the nation, but now it's really in North Carolina. So what has happened is the legislature has passed that the Register of Deeds office now have this system in place to help the citizen. So what it does is, it's a system where if you have property in Bertie County, you can go on our website or scan this code that we have to take you directly to the website, and the person can put in their name, their phone number, and their email address, and they'll get an email or text. And then if anything is recorded in the Register of Deeds office in your name, then you'll get an alert. So even if the person has like gone out to the bank and they borrowed money and the bank has recorded that deed of trust or they buy some property, once we index their name, then they would get that alert to their phone. So that way, if anything fraudulent happens, they would get that alert. So it's something that would really help citizens in Berkeley County. So I have some flyers here for the citizens. I'm going to leave them over here on the table, if that's okay with you, and then they can pick them up.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ms. Wilson. Okay. Next line item, Bert T. Martin Regional Jail Update. Jail Commission Chair, Commissioner Vivian Saunders.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yes.
Joe Tomac is spinning around, guys. Tobacco sheet, so. Plus, from Warren County, we know all about it. Good evening, and I thank everyone who came out tonight, all those who supported the situation that we're in, supported the jail board commission, supported the staff, supported detention officers. For those who don't know me, I am Vivian B. Saunders. I am the jail board commission chair. I am Vivian B. Saunders. I want you to write it down and get that. I am the jail board commission chair. My phone number is 1-252-642-7275. My email is saunders239@yahoo.com. Now, the updates that I'll give you tonight, because we're still in the midst of an investigation with the SBI, FBI, and then our own commission is going to conduct an investigation, or answers to questions that have been vetted through our attorney. So I'm going to read the question, and then I'm going to give you the answer. And that's what I've been instructed to do, okay? And the legal advice given to the BMRJ Commission regarding proposed responses to information requests that have been received from the public. These are the draft response. This firm represents the Bert T. Martin Regional Jail, and the chairperson of the jail commission has forwarded your public record request to me based on the date of July 5th, 2026. As I get the request in, I forward them to our attorney, and the attorney gets with the team. We answer the questions, they give them back to me, and I'm going to give them to the public, and that's how that's going to go. Question one is, they were asking a question concerning the meeting that we had. They asked, when was our next jail board meeting? And the answer is, the Bert T. Martin Regional Jail Commission meets August 4th, 2026. That's our next meeting that we will have. Question, can we get on your sunshine list? And the sunshine list is a list that is composed of an email that anyone who wants to get our meetings, our updates, they can get on that list and it will be sent to them automatically. And the answer is yes, you have been put on the BMR Jail Board Commission's list. And these questions came from WITN, Mr. Bill Wallace. How many detention officers do you have? And the answer is there are 14 officers currently employed by the BMRJ, plus the jail administrator and one person who is both the jail secretary and the clerk to the jail commission board. Question, how many detention officers are supposed to be working during the overnight shift? The answer is, there is no North Carolina statute, regulation, or jail policy that requires a certain number of officers to be working during an overnight shift. It is normal for BMRJ to have 3 to 4 officers working per shift, and it does so in compliance with the North Carolina regulatory requirements and jail policy. Question, are your jails inspected? If so, who conducts those inspections and how often? And the answer is yes, the BMRJ is inspected. The Division of Health Service Regulations, DHSR, Instruction Section, Jails and Detention Unit that operates under the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, NCDHHS, inspects the BMRJ. DHSR inspects twice each year. The local fire marshal also inspects the jail. Question, are there minimum standards for the jail? The answer is the standards for inspection are found at 10 ANCAC subchapter 114, titled Jails, Local Confinement Facilities, which are authorized by NCGS 153A-22 and 222. Request, please give us copies of emails, texts, messages to and from the jail administrator, jail staff, and the Burt T. Martin Regional Jail Authority Board members from June 29th through today, July the 6th, or it would be currently today. Answer, these records cannot be produced at this time. These emails contain protected, confidential, personally identifiable inmate information, HIPAA-protected medical information, attorney-client privilege information, information on inmates' classification, and transfer information. Information that could be compromised institutional law, institutional security, information that could compromise institutional security, information being reviewed by the SBI in conjunction with its criminal investigation under NCGS 132-14. When the investigation has been completed, the jail will evaluate what emails can be released. Question, was the public notified of the Tuesday, June 30th emergency meeting of the jail commission? Answer, yes, the emergency meeting notice was posted on the afternoon of Monday, June the 29th, and on the courthouse door on Dundee Street, on two doors of the county office building, and on the door of the jail. It was not emailed to anyone because there was no one on the Sunshine List at that time. Request, was there a recording made and how can we access a copy? Answer, yes, a recording was made. We can give you the minutes of the meeting and a copy of the audio once the minutes of the meeting have been approved by the jail commission at its next regular meeting. There was a closed session held during the meeting and there was no recording made at that time. So that's the summation of all the questions that we received so far. We got some that came in on Friday from the Bertie Ledger. I forwarded them to Mr. Huddleston. And so when those are answered, I will send you answers to those questions. But I'm here to tell everyone in this room that things happen. We are a community, and at this time, we need to draw ourselves together. We don't need to distance ourselves from the situation. We've got to stand together to correct what happened. It's happened. Now it's time for us to move forward and stand together as a team. I want to thank the Commissioner's Board, County Manager Vaughn, and County Manager Batts for just being so helpful. We walked through today. Hopefully, we're going to get some things tidied up and we may have staff back on site at some point in time, but not right now. But I just want to thank everyone for their patience, for their kindness, for their respect, for the way that they have treated us, even the families. When they could not reach out and contact Administrator Freeman, they called me. I talked to them. I got information and sent it back to them. Please be careful what you hear and see and read. We're going to be updating periodically like that. So if you don't get it from us, don't take it as the gospel. Please don't. But again, I thank all of you for coming. I thank the news media for being so patient and so kind. And just keep praying for Burt T. County because we're on the move. You know, there's no stopping us. You know, this is just a situation. That's another situation that we're going to have to pray about and God is going to have to get us through. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Saunders. At this time, we will have a presentation of the Tourism Development Authority budget by Ms. Laura Orsini.
Hello. Good evening, Commissioners. I know I'm not on the agenda, but I'm here today to give you a little bit of an update on the TDA. I am Laura Orsini, the chair of the Burt T. County Tourism Development Authority. It's my job to come before you once a quarter, and then this is the annual report. So I'm going to give you the annual report and the budget for both the year just ended and the year that we are now beginning. This has largely been a building the foundation, a year about building the foundation. We didn't have a TDA before, so we've been beginning large-scale marketing and tourism development. In order to do that, we had to create a structure, partnerships, and public presence. During our first year, we completed and adopted comprehensive bylaws. We expanded the TDA from the 7 you all approved initially to 11 board members. We established staggered board terms and created committees to focus on finance, website development, social media, visitor information, and historic preservation. We also made a deliberate effort to take the TDA out into the community. So rather than having our meetings in the same place every time, every month we rotate them. We go to a different part of the county. So far, we have met at Okano. We've met at the Bertie County Arts Council, at the Alliance of Native Seedkeepers up in Coleraine, at the Lewiston-Woodville Educational Vitality Center in Lewiston, and at Historic Hope and other locations. So those meetings give us the opportunity to meet the community in their own place. And one of the things that we've also done is invited the individuals who are hosting us to give a presentation about their particular entities. So that helps us get to, us as representatives of the county, get to know the rest of the county better. We also worked with the Bertie County Tax and Finance Offices to establish the process for collecting these occupancy taxes, which began last September 1st. We continue to work through some challenges that are associated with collecting those rentals. Occupancy tax collections for year one reached $21,169.17 as of our June 15th meeting. So that was pretty good. We were shooting for $15,000 and we did more than that. So that was, we were pleased with that. As of the close of the 2025-26 fiscal year, no direct expenditures had been processed from the TDA funds. We didn't spend any money ahead of time. We do have a pending reimbursement to myself for $44.59 for domains for the Destination Bertie website. And we also have right now owing to one of the board members about $1,200 for the purchase of our initial literature that's going to go out to visitor centers. So that's what we've done with money so far. There's been no money taken out of this budget to this date. Those materials I just discussed have now been ordered and will be distributed through the regional visitor centers. And you have copies in all of your information of that RAC card. I mistakenly printed the wrong version. So the QR code there doesn't work. I will send the proper QR code to Tanya in the morning. So she will have that to get to you. But what that QR code does is it takes you to a map of a place called Bertie County Points of Interest. This is about 200 places around Bertie County. I mean, including this courthouse we're sitting in right now and all the various places around Bertie County. They are not all places some a tourist would go. They are places that if somebody wants to know Bertie County, they would take a look at them. So it's a comprehensive map. It's Brianne Godwin, who manages education at the Cashi, good Lord, the River Center. Is the one who put that map together. She did an outstanding job on that. We also have developed Bertie County tourism itineraries, and we are exploring using QR codes on our printed materials. We've established and strengthened partnerships with the Roanoke River Partners, with regional trail initiatives, with Uplift, which just ended, with Tourism That Works, with Bertie County Arts Council, all of the municipalities and local tourism businesses and attractions. We've explored opportunities in trail development. We're looking into agro-tourism, bird watching, photography, outdoor recreation, cultural tourism festivals, and other tourism experiences. We also participated in America 250 through a countywide coloring page initiative, highlighting Bertie's forgotten Black and Native patriots of the Revolutionary War. Coloring pages were distributed throughout the county, then collected and displayed. And some of them were really, really, really nice. One of our most important priorities moving forward is the approval of the Bertie County Tourism Master Plan. So if you take anything from my being here tonight, it is that we request that you approve that. The plan was completed in March 2025, and we need the commissioner's approval so that we can begin using this as a foundation for getting grants, for bringing more money in to support tourism and bringing people in to Bertie County. We spent a great deal of time building the structure, and we're ready to move forward. As we move into year two, the TDA is shifting from organizational development into implementation. We are also revisiting county's hotel viability study. So we're taking a look at that again. That didn't go anywhere when it was first done because we did not have a TDA. So since we have a TDA and an economic development person in the person of Allison Browning, we have a much better chance at actually bringing a brand name hotel to Bertie County. We'll be working on expanding the distribution of printed visitor material, strengthening Destination Bertie marketing, developing professional photography and graphics, improving our visitor information, and examining gaps in what we are doing right now regarding tourism. There's a lot for us to do, but I think that we have a great foundation in this first year and we will move forward well. And that brings me to the TDA budgets. And you do have copies of that. It is double-sided, the budget that you have in front of you. So, sorry, it's teeny-weeny, but we have the budget for that we just finished for the first year, both years. We just put in for $15,000. So our budget is well above that. We're not going to spend beyond that. We're going to spend what's on this budget. So we've got really $30,000 to work with this year. We're looking at the possibility of a billboard as people come in. Welcome to Bertie County. Perhaps video, other things. So there are things on the horizon that we're doing to really bring people into Bertie County. What will be very helpful is that they have places to eat and places to stay while we're here. So I know that Allison is working on that. I know that you all are working on that. But if we could get the tourism initiative approved, it'll help all of us move forward. So that is all I have right now. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay. We thank you so much, Ms. Arsini. At this time, we will move. We have no board appointments. We will now move to our consent agenda. First line item is to approve the May 2026 tax release journal.
So moved.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Saunders. Second by Commissioner White to approve the May 2026 Tax Release Journal. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Next line item, approve the June 2026 Register of Deeds Fees Report.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White. Second by Commissioner Robinson to approve the June 2026 Register of Deeds Fees Report. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Next line item, approved May 18, 2026, open and closed session minutes.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White, second by Commissioner Robinson to approve the May 18, 2026, open and closed session minutes. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Next line item, approved the fiscal year 2026-2027 home and community care block grant. County funding plan.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White, second by Commissioner Saunders to approve the fiscal year 2026-2027 home and community care block grant county funding plan. Next line item, approve the fire commission funding request document to complete grant applications.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Robinson to approve the Fire Commission funding request document to complete grant application, second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Other items. Discuss the Board of Education travel stipend and elections. County Manager.
Chair, on number four, the community grant. Commissioner White made a motion. Commissioner Saunders second, but there was no actual vote.
No actual vote. All in favor of approving the fiscal year 2026-2027 home and community care block grant county funding plan, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Okay.
Board of Commissioners, in your packet, behind the discussion item number one, there's a letter addressed to Chairman Balance from Dr. Otis Smallwood, who's the superintendent of Bertie County Schools on behalf of Bertie County Board of Education, where the Board of Education is requesting a monthly stipend of, in the amount of $200 per each board member. From my understanding, according to Dr. Smallwood's letter, the board is currently being paid $500 monthly, and the request again is to receive $200 per month for travel for each Board of Education member. Chairman also mentioned the Board of Elections. As you all are aware, the chair of the Board of Elections has also requested that the Board of Elections receive election pay on the days that when there's an election. Basically, from my understanding, the Board of Elections members travel from site to site in various precincts throughout the county, and they're requesting to be paid $75 for that day per each member.
So. All right. And the Board of Education, they are operating, their request is made inside of their budget. Am I correct?
That is my understanding. Yes, it will come from the local appropriation, which they've already received and will not require additional funds to meet this request.
Okay.
And make a motion to increase the Board of Education board stipend.
I second the motion. They deserve it.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor to increase the stipend for the Bertie County Board of Education travel stipend.
Question.
Sure.
So help me understand now what you were saying is already in their budget.
From my understanding, yes, sir.
Right. It's not costing.
It shouldn't cost the county any additional funds.
Okay.
Hold the vote, Chair.
Good. I'm good.
All right. All in favor of moving forward with allowing the Bertie County Board of Education to receive a travel stipend, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. And the next thing was with the elections. And from my understanding, this is something that they were receiving in the past.
That's right.
And I'm not sure exactly what took place, but somehow it got cut. And so I don't have a problem with them continuing to receive it going forward. Is that a consensus?
If I can get a vote on that, Chairman, that'd be helpful.
Okay. All right. Well, I need a motion to allow the State Elections Board to the County Elections Board to receive the stipend that they would normally receive during elections. I guess
I made the motion.
Let me make sure we get the wording right. We need a proper wording for that.
Yes, sir. So just to be clear, I think what should happen is going forward in the future, for future elections, each Board of Elections member will receive $75 for the election day.
Okay. And is the amount correct? Because I heard another amount. I heard like 125. So is it 75 or is it 125? I want to make sure we have the...
It's 75.
We paid 125 forward.
Okay.
It's
$75 for a regular board meeting. But the day of election,
they have two.
They have two. It's supposed to be 150.
Supposed to be 150. That's I knew it was something.
Well, that one day.
That's up to the Board of Commissioners. Okay.
We're just granted per meeting. 75 per meeting.
It's 75 per meeting automatically. But because they came in at 6:30 in the morning and worked 11:30 at night, riding all over the county, picking up this, that, and all the balance here and there. So, you know, they're paying 150 for that one day. It's just five of them.
Okay. All right. Any more discussion? Everybody understand? So, Karen, now we have a motion to put in place a cipher for the County Elections Board of $75.
I'm sorry. So what did that run off?
If we grant $75 a meeting, it'd just be what it is. Yeah.
All right.
So that's what
it's $75 a meeting anyway. Yeah. I'm just talking the date of the election.
Right, date of the election. Yeah.
Right. See, the regular meeting, they don't have to go nowhere but at the office. Wow. But the day of the election, they are sent all through the county, all over, you know, to oversee the precincts. So that's why they were asking for 150 because they had got that in the past.
Okay.
Now there's election.
Yeah. On election day,
right.
There's they've always 150.
Got right. Yes. Right. That's right. Yeah. I'll make the motion that you ready, Chairman?
Yes. Absolutely.
I'll make the motion that the Board of Election received $150 for the day of election and their regular $75 per month meeting.
All right. We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Robinson. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a second by Commissioner Saunders. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. All right, it's granted. Next line item. Outline the elementary school property sale by sealed bids due by 3 o'clock p.m. on August 12, 2026. Anything you'd like to say further on this?
Nothing further other than it was published in the Roanoke Chuan News Herald on this past Wednesday, July 8th. I just wanted to make that announcement officially to the public that the county is accepting bids on the Orlando Elementary School property. And we're doing so by way of sealed bids that are due by 3 o'clock p.m. on August 12th, 2026. And bids are accepted at the attorney's office, which is 101 Lawyers Lane in Windsor.
Tax value of that building in Lane.
Can't tell you on a...
It's $2,195,143.
Tax value?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Next line item. The next Board of Commissioners meeting.
Is the lights and electrical stuff still going? Everything is off.
Yep.
That's land and building.
How long has it been? But you know, when you turn lights and stuff off, like, I mean, everything just dries up and rots out.
Sale.
I ain't trying to, man. I'm just trying to figure.
I'll give myself.
If they want it, they'll buy it. I ain't worried about that one. You know, I'm just thinking about, and if they don't, it's going to come right back to us anyway. Okay. Hell, if I was to go out there, hell, you can see it. I ain't even, I'm not trying to hide anything.
Question. Good. Good advice?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Next Board of Commissioners meeting. August 3rd, 2026 at 6 o'clock p.m. Next line item, NCACC 119th Annual Conference will be held August 20th through the 22nd, 2026 in Durham County. At this time, we will move to Commissioner's Report. Commissioner Robson.
Mr. Chairman, it's not a report. It's what I like to make public, especially to the paper, that Commissioner Robertson is willing to do anything along with the jail commissioner, you know, to help make things right for him. You know, I don't mind, you know, getting my hands dirty. And I'll do anything that Commissioner Sanders asked me to do to help get out of jail right. I want that to go down to the rook in the paper. And on the record. Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Hogg?
No more than, as you know, the state budget did pass. So we got a state budget, first one we had in 3 years. My understanding, not a big partisan thing, but there were no Democrats involved in the negotiations of it. But there are a lot of Democrats who were somewhat happy with what happened with the budget. The other part of it is, as you know, in November, the the sale tax thing is from state that, and I talked about it last meeting that capping the taxes, or, you know, that's going to be on the November ballot. And it's a simple question that they ask: do you want your taxes raised? And who wants their taxes raised? Nobody. But there's a trick to it also, because if it does pass, what happens is those counties who have that opportunity to increase their tax rate, and which we don't plan on it, but if they can't, what that means is your services are going to be impacted, such as your sheriff department, such as your EMS, and the other public services that county has to provide for. So it puts small, as rural, tier one, low socioeconomic status county in a predicament if that were to happen. So keep that in mind when you go to the polls and know what you're going against. Thank you.
Commissioner White? Commissioner Saunders?
I just want to just implore the citizens in Berkeley County. You know, guys, we got to stick together. It's just we're in a crisis mode right now. We got families affected, we got employees affected, and so I just want you to work together, like Commissioner Robinson said. Him and I don't always agree on everything, but you know, when a household begins to fall, it's time for everybody to pull together. And I appreciate him saying what he's saying, and we got to stand together, kind of like the things that are going on right now in our county. And it's going to take not finger pointing, but it's going to take us working together to make that.
Okay, thank you. And the we thank God for all of the comments that were made by the commissioners. And I would just like to take a brief moment because we've heard of a few deaths that have affected us in some way, form, or fashion. But one that's dear to this county is the loss of Mr. Buck. And to those that don't know Mr. Buck, I would like to yield just for a moment, if you will allow our county manager to just expound who Mr. Buck was to this county and the surrounding community.
So Mr. Bryant Buck was the executive director to the Mideast Commission. He served in that capacity for many years. And if you're not familiar with Mideast, it provides many resources to counties like Berkeley when it comes to grants or whatever the county needs. Basically, you can go to Mideast and they provide something, some guidance, or, you know, if they can't give you the answers, they tell you exactly where to go. And so we worked closely with Mr. Buck for many years, and we were very sorry to hear about his passing.
Yes. So if you all will join me, and as I ask, we just take a moment of silence on his behalf. All right. Thank you. No further comments. At this time, we will have our county manager's report.
Only one brief thing, Chairman. On June 30th, in the community meeting room, we had our annual opioid funds, settlement funds meeting. And basically, you all know that counties in North Carolina, if they signed on to be a part of that, we will receive funds for many years. Berkeley County has already received approximately $500,000, but it has to be used on combating the opioid epidemic. And so we have at least one meeting a year to discuss, to get everyone's feedback. It's a community meeting, so everyone is welcome. And so we get feedback on the community on how those funds could best be used in Berkeley County. And so we're going to go to having one quarterly. This past meeting that we had on June 30th, MDC Rule is a nonprofit organization who assists counties of North Carolina with guiding them through this process. And so by the end of the year, I'm expecting to be able to present on behalf of that group who gathers to discuss what the direction that group would like to take in terms of how those funds can be used in Berkeley County, which could, it depends on exactly what is requested, determines on the next step that we would take. For instance, if certain things are requested, we have to follow procurement guidelines. So it could be necessary to do an RFQ, RFP. But I invite all of you to join those meetings. So please be on the lookout for announcements about upcoming meetings. One has not been confirmed, but we do expect to have another one within the next couple of months. One thing that we're really interested in, because we've gotten feedback from various organizations and people from the community, but one that we're really seeking to have is people with experience with opioid use disorder, people who've actually have lived experience with that. So if you have lived experience with that, or if you someone in your family community has, please invite them so that we can hear from them on things that were helpful to them or may be helpful to them. So again, we want to make sure that these funds are used in the best way for Berkeley County. And so I want to ask you all to proactively come and not wait until, you know, the funds have been spent and say, I wish, you know, they would have been used this way. So please come. I'm inviting everybody to be on the lookout for those announcements about those meetings so that, again, we can hear from how you all think those funds should be used. That's all.
Thank you, County Manager. At this time, we'll yield to County Attorney's report. So, Jonathan?
I have no report, sir.
Okay. Now we will prepare for our public comment.
Chair, we do have one. I may mention her name up. Shahid Chabaz. You can.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Good evening. My apologies for being late to the proceedings, but my name is Shahid Shabazz.
Okay.
I'm a new resident to the area, but I've owned a house out here since 2002, been coming in and out of this county since the 80s. So I'm legally a resident of Bertie County now. And I'm here to talk about trash pickup. I represent about 11,000 individuals that do not stay in Windsor or Orlando or Lewis and Woodville. We actually stay in the county. And I have to take my trash and load it up in my car and find a place to dispose of it. I've never had to do that before. I'm originally from Virginia, north of Virginia, Virginia Beach. So I've never had to do that before. So it's something that's new to me, but my parents had to do it since they moved here in 2002. A lot of other people I've spoken with have said that they have to go to garbage sites, and sometimes the garbage sites is closed or it's inconvenient for them to be able to dispose of their trash, and they have to hold on to their trash a little bit longer, you know, instead of, you know, just having somebody pick it up. But I was always taught that, and if you have a problem, just don't complain about a problem, present some sort of solution, and something I would like to bring to you all. Mr. Hogan was talking about tax and earlier, we don't want to use that word, but a $10 fee added to our water bill would be very sufficient and fair enough in order for us to have these particular services. If you add up the individuals that's in the county that does not stay in a town, that could generate about $1 million+ in a year. That funding can be enough to be used to, I forget the North Carolina statute, but to ask Windsor or Orlando or Lewis and Woodville to extend their trash services maybe 5 to 10 miles outside of their city limits to be able to assist the county residents in being able to have their trash and stuff picked up. You know, we as county residents go to these towns and spend our dollars as well. We go to Windsor to shop at the Food Line. You know, we go to Powersville to go to the Dollar General. So we shop in these towns, and if we could use their resources as far as trash pickup to assist us, that would be something that can help. And the county would not have to use their own resources to create a trash department. It would just be contracting and having those particular municipalities extend their range 5 to 10 miles just to assist us a little bit. One last thing real quick, and I know that the $10 may be an issue to some, and I feel like that should be something that should be put up to a vote. Do you want to opt in to this? Because if you do not want to opt into it, then obviously you won't have your trash. But if you do want to have your trash picked up, vote to opt into it so no one feels that they're being forced to pay a tax that they may or may not want. But I assure you that the citizens who do want trash pickup in the counties would have no problem at all paying an extra $10 on their water bill. And again, those funds could be used in a big surplus for the county to be able to assist in other county matters that you all know that needs to be handled. But I'm just here to talk about trash pickup.
Yes, sir.
I thank y'all for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Chavez. Madam Clerk.
Ms. Annie Wilson.
Mm-hmm. I failed to mention while I was here. I had spoke to the commissioner when we had a meeting that I told y'all about the other services that we have, but I hadn't had a chance to tell the public about them. I was supposed to meet with the newspaper and I didn't get a chance. So I just want to share with the public some of the other services that we have that has happened within the last year or so. So one of them is the out-of-county birth, where if a person was born in Bertie County and they could be born anywhere in North Carolina, but they can come to Bertie County to get their birth certificate if they was born from 1971. Because you know, in 1984, or 87, when the hospital stopped having a birthing center, all our births were born outside of the county. So it's helpful for people who have children starting school that if they need to get that birth certificate, they don't have to travel to Pitt County to get it. They can come right in our county and get it. So that's one of the services that we have. So the person has to be born from 1971 up until today. And then they can be born anywhere in North Carolina. They can come in our registered deeds office and get it. The fee is $24, which it covers $10 for the birth certificate, and then $14 goes to the state for their fee for using the system. The other thing is we now, starting January, we were able to do adoption birth certificates for Burke T. County. Anybody was adopted in Burke T. County, they can come in our office now and get that birth certificate. So, and then the other one was the birth, death, and marriage request. And that's for people that was born in Burke T. County, but now live somewhere else. So if a person live in New York and they want to get a copy of their birth certificate or marriage certificate, then they can go online to our Registered Deeds website and they can fill out the application and upload their ID and pay with a credit card. And we will, they can submit that and we will have it immediately. And we can process that request the same day and put it back, which it cuts down on that mail time. You know, if they write in for it and there's something wrong, we will have to write back to them and then they will have to write back. But now they can just go on our website and they can submit that application and we can process it the same day. So I just wanted to share that with the citizens.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you so much. Madam Clerk.
Ms. Laura Rossini.
I just have one more thing. This is Laura Orsini as private citizen. In response to County Manager Vaughn's comments about the opioid organization, there is a substance that is on the market right now called 70H, a drug called Kratom, and it is over the counter and it is legal right now. And it is as addictive as any opioid. It causes problems, including up to death, and the withdrawal symptoms are insane. As I understand it, it will be illegal after July 31st here. Right now it's available in the vape stores. It's available in some convenience stores. I just want to know if there's any plan at all to make sure that that stuff gets pulled from these stores that it's not supposed to be sold in after July 31st. So I'm just raising it as a point of interest and curiosity if there's any plan to make sure that it's no longer being sold in the vape stores here. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Clerk. Okay, just before we close out the public comments, I also would like to just yield 3 minutes to Ms. Smith. Ms. Smith, if you would just like to stand and just say hello to everyone, you're welcome to do so at this time and tell everybody who you are.
Good evening, Patricia Smith, the Democratic nominee for Congress, District 2, Richardsburg T, Martin County, and Edgecombe County. I'll be coming back on the ballot for November the 3rd. Early voting will start on October the 15th through the 31st, and then the general election day will be on November the 3rd. So I will be back on the ballot again. I thank you all for your support.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Smith. I'm glad you stopped by to see us today. Okay.
Sorry to interrupt. I also had a comment, if y'all have time.
Who's speaking?
My name is Sydney Hardy. I'm public.
What's the measure?
Could you hear me?
Okay, Ms. Hardy, you have 3 minutes.
All right. Following the recent hostage situation at Burke T. Martin Regional Jail, it's understandable that the facility must take steps to ensure the safety of staff, inmates, and the public. However, those security measures should be focused on the individuals who were responsible for the incident, not imposed equally on every inmate, regardless of their involvement. Many inmates who had no role in the hostage situations are reportedly being treated as though they were the participants, facing restrictions and consequences simply because they are housed in the same facility. Accountability should be individualized, not collective. Every person should be evaluated based on their own actions, not assumed guilty by association. In addition, inmates who have already been sentenced to the North Carolina Department of Adult Corrections and are awaiting transfer to state prisons continue to be held at the regional jail. Delays in these transfers can contribute to the overcrowding and create unnecessary strain on the facility, its staff, and the inmates themselves. Safety and security are essential, but they should be balanced with fairness. Those responsible for the hostage situation should be held accountable, while the inmates who were not involved should be not subjected to the same treatment or assumptions. A response that distinguishes between those involved and those who are not is both more just and more effective.
Okay, are you finished?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we thank you so much for your comments and your concerns. Okay, is that the end of the public comments? All right. At this time, we will need a motion to go into closed session according to North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11A3, 4, and 6. Is there a motion?
So moved. Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Saunders to go into closed session, second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, everybody, we are in closed session.
All right. We are officially out of closed session. Well, we ask the John if you will let everybody back in out of the waiting room.
Y'all good to go, Commissioner.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'm trying to tell you, man. I'm gonna leave him here.
Strong. Oh.
Is anybody else out there?
You good to go.
Okay.
Two. You're not going looking for them, that's for sure.
Okay. We're good to go. Okay. So we are now officially out of closed session. We have a couple more items to discuss. We need a motion on the floor to approve some of our previous minutes.
Yeah. I move we approve closed session minutes for June 18th, July 7th, and August 4th to be released to the public.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor by Commissioner White.
Mr. Chairman, I second the motion.
We have a second by Commissioner Robinson to approve those minutes. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. So moved. If I'm not mistaken, that is everything, County Manager. Okay, so I just need a motion to adjourn this meeting.
We'll move up there, that we adjourn this meet at this time.
Second. Okay. We have a motion on the floor to adjourn the meeting by Commissioner Robinson, second by Vice Chairman Hoggett. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Meeting adjourned.